You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business automation, where we focus on turning digital marketing professionals into automation service providers. And in this episode, we can refer to it as part two of the previous episode, because there is a theme. But I want to discuss what seems to be the norm when it comes to marketing online, and how to approach your business as an individual free from the influences of everyone else. There's a lot of misinformation that success comes from a single type of approach, and that's just false. And I see too often people easily mimicking and mirroring the moves of others without it producing the results that they claim to be getting, or that they are getting, either way. So I want to help you all break free from that. The current, you know, the flow of the market. I want to help you all break free from that in this episode. But before we jump into it, if you're new to the podcast, make sure you do me a favor. Listen to this podcast in its entirety. At the end, if you have found value, which I believe you will, leave a 5-star rating and review in iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's being called now, or wherever you're getting your podcast. The All Systems Go podcast is available in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe on YouTube. We are everywhere. So leaving your 5-star rating and review for those of you who have not yet and are listeners. It may require you to use another device, you know, that another Apple device. Maybe you have an Android phone. Jump on your iPad and leave that 5-star rating and review in iTunes for me. It helps get the word out, and it's a simple way to tell me thank you for this content, and it lets me know that it's aligned and it's what you need. It's helping you. So that feedback is greatly appreciated in advance. And again, I just am grateful for all of you who continue to listen to the podcast, and not just listen, but actually put forth the effort, like put what you're learning into practice. It really does. It makes me excited. And we'll be soon launching a community for all of the podcast listeners, where we can collaborate and communicate and comment on each episode. If you have questions, you could ask, you know, more details and monthly challenges and all kind of ways to collaborate. That'll be coming soon. But for now, just make sure that you listen, get the value, and leave a review. That's all I'm asking for you for right now. All right. So let's jump into it. From here on out, let me just say, I have my virtual sword right here. I don't know if you all know, like, the knighting process, where the king knights the next upcoming, and they kneel down and they take the sword and put it on both shoulders. I'm doing that right now. And what I'm doing is I'm giving you permission to be different. Okay. I've seen it more in politics than anywhere else, where your alignment with a particular side or party mandates your movement or thoughts, right? Just because you're perhaps more conservative, you can't have any liberal thoughts. And if you're more liberal, you can't have any conservative thoughts. It's like they box you in and punish you for being a free thinker. Right? Like, how dare that conservative have liberal views too, or vice versa, right? And it just leads to all this messiness in politics. And at the end of the day, everybody's arguing and nobody's being helped, right? But it what we have to do, because I'm seeing this dynamic taking place in marketing more and more, and it's as if free thinking and moving as an individual is no longer a good strategy for success. And I don't know if it comes from people just trying to shortcut the path to success from a lack of understanding what that process looks like. you know, or if it's just a genuine effort in ignorance, like you just don't know and you think that what you're doing is going to be successful, but it's never been a good approach to any area of life. And it's just rearing its head more and more, you know, and I've spoke about not following the leader in the crowd in previous podcasts and how to select the best technology instead of what everyone else is using. So I've alluded to this many times, but it boils down to really what I mentioned in the previous episode. I don't know about you all, but sometimes these podcasts are even therapeutic for me. Right. Like the repetitive nature of certain themes really has me at times, you know, just sitting back like, wait a minute. There's a theme here. And that's what I've realized with a few of these podcasts, especially the last one in today. And it all boils down to strategy. That's it. There's no other way to put it. A strategic approach to your business is what is missing from the majority of businesses, not just online, but I'm just talking about the ones that want to leverage online assets to grow their business. They are missing the strategy. Totally. Let me tell you what their strategy is. Their strategy is picking a tool that somebody else is using, doing what somebody else is doing. Like, hey, they're doing that. Let's do that. That's why I call this the monolithic marketer, because that's not what you need to be. This is not marketing is not a one size fit all. Neither is business. You could be in the exact same industry, serving the exact same market and do it totally differently because you have a different strategy based on how you want to operate, how you desire to grow. And what it does is it reminds me of one of my favorite Bible stories about David and Goliath. And so we'll have Sunday school on a Thursday. All right. But for those of you that don't know, David was the youngest of his brothers and often overlooked. And Goliath, this big giant, has just been slaying the entire army. Right. And what Saul did, the king at the time, was he said, hey, here, David, wear my armor. And this was the best of the best. This was the king's armor, the best of the best. And David, this young boy, looks at the armor and is just like, nah, I'm all right. Right. I'll use this slingshot. So just imagine this giant in Goliath is just slaying everybody with the best of the with great armor. David gets even greater armor and says, nah. Now, the backstory is David had been in the field. He had slain lions and bears with his own hands and, you know, things of that nature. So he had a framework that worked for him. And guess what? This new shiny, you know, this works for everybody approach. He was able to say, you know what? I know that might work for you, but I've got a different way. And long story short, David did slay Goliath, right? So what that did for me, and again, it's just one of my favorite stories that I learned as a child, and it just always stuck with me, is David was aware of what his advantage was. His advantage was staying agile, right? And being able to use this slingshot. He didn't need the sword. He didn't plan on getting hit. So what do I need the vest for? Right. He knew his advantage and he created a strategy to play to that advantage and he won. OK, instead of following what everybody else is doing. Here's the thing. In this example, you could see Goliath, the giant, just slaying everybody. You could see it wasn't working. Their armor, their strategy was not working. The problem with online is you don't get to see that. Right. You get to go to their website and you're like, man, they really got a great design. Oh, man, they're running advertising. Man, it must be really working for them. Oh, man, they just said they made $10,314 today. $10,314.12. There it is. Right? Wow. And all along, in the background, It is not happening anywhere near what they're proposing, right? And what they're displaying. So what's your advantage? I want you to think about that. What is your advantage right now? There's something that you're overlooking about yourself, how you operate, how you think, how you're using particular software to produce a result. I am known for taking a particular software that's supposed to do A, B, and C and using it for D. Because I know what I'm trying to accomplish, and I have a strategic approach to an outcome that I'm trying to achieve. And by the way, for me, I define strategy, not saying that it needs to be redefined. I think Webster has a great definition, and there's probably other definitions that are just as good. But I define strategy as organized movement to produce a specific result, right? So whether that movement is thoughts, whether that movement is actually, you know, steps like you're executing, but it's organized in a way to produce a specific result. In order for something to produce a specific result, we have to know what that result is, right? So strategic thinking doesn't work without you understanding what your goals and objectives are. It doesn't exist. So many of you, that has been your failure point. Is that you're not clear. What am I trying to achieve? I just want to make $10,000 a month. Well, I could, that's a basic goal, but how do you want to achieve that? How is that $10,000 a month split up? Think about active, passive, right? Recurring. What is that combination? Right? What do you want to do to generate that? Or do you just not care? Well, I just need it. I'll do whatever it takes. Very bad. Very bad approach, right? So it's not just having goals. It's being clear on at a different level, just continuing to ask those questions, right? Because to stand out in the marketplace and be unique in your operations and the revenue that you generate, it always begins with your strategy. Without a strong strategy, you're going to fall victim to follow the strategies of others. That works well for them. Not so much for you, right? Their strategy is to get you to use their strategy. I'm not exaggerating. Have you not seen it? Just scroll through your Facebook feed. There it's ad after ad, strategy for this, strategy for that. It's as if you could just go to the store and buy it, like just off the shelf strategies. It doesn't work like that. And that's why I said you have permission to be different, because you need a strategy for your business. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through a few areas where to bring it home and show you what not thinking. Let me say this correctly. What bypassing strategic thinking will afford you. OK, what results of that. Okay. And some of you may be like, oh, that's why that was happening to me. Right. And the thing about it is, it's not that I'm about to give you a list of do's and don'ts. Everything that I list is good, but doing it without strategy is bad. Okay. So let's start with advertising. Okay. Let me just, cause I know where I'm going and I don't want to lead you astray. Okay. So let me start off by saying paid advertising works. Advertising your business is an absolute necessity. Okay. And you have to be willing to pay. And when I'm talking about paying, I'm not just talking about Facebook ads or, you know, anything. It may require you to join that Best Business Bureau, right? You may have to join the local commerce club, whatever it is, right? You may have to enroll in that high tier program to get more visibility of people who may need your services. There's ways, right? It's how you advertise is where you cannot afford to take a monolithic one size fits all approach. Some businesses they thrive on paid advertising. And there is a anatomy for businesses that are more prone to be successful with paid advertising. And then some thrive with organic, same way. Some do well with both. Strategy with all of it prevents you from throwing money down the toilet with advertising and keeps you from creating a boatload of content for the sake of SEO and publishing online, right? Because let's just take a look at what everybody's doing right now in advertising. Facebook ads as the first means of getting the word out. Anytime, it never fails. Anytime I'm talking to a business owner and I'm like, okay, so how are you generating interest? Right? Because I'm trying to figure out how you're going to turn interest into income, right? And if they're not doing anything, if their advertising consists of just posting to their Facebook or Instagram page, what they'll do is they'll immediately feel like that's not enough. And they'll tell me, oh, we're getting ready to start running ads. Everybody goes to Facebook as the first stop to this is how you get more leads. And Facebook ads work really well for who they work really, really well for. But best believe you need a strategy. You are not going to just throw up a page, throw some money at Facebook. People are going to go to this page, give you their information, and then you're going to convert. It doesn't work like that, right? Another thing I see everybody doing is free communities. Again, nothing wrong with free communities, but what is your strategy? Do you understand how many people that I know have big communities that they don't know how to monetize on? All that means to me is you have no strategy. You did this thing, you know, because you needed to generate some buzz and interest and, you know, bring people together who are interested in what you have to offer. And that was the extent of your thinking. It started and ended there. And you did it. Thousands of people, hundreds of people. And it's like, how do I get them to pay me money? How do I get them to take the next step? Right? Posting to social, we know that. Hey, can we just all admit at this point, posting to social media is not a strategy? Can we say that it's activity? Okay. And it's activity that lightly checks the brand awareness. It gives you the appearance of movement, you know, like something's happening over here. But without strategy, you will be posting for years on social media with little to no results. But it looked good. It's going to look good. I'll tell you that. Right. Business cards. Are you strategic with your business card design? I don't know what this is going to sound like, but how do you feel when I make this statement? Every business card should have a call to action. And ideally, singularly, I look at business cards as little landing pages. I really do. When I used to print my own business cards and do networking and all of that, I never drove people to my website. I never gave people my phone number. I always drove them to a landing page. What is the difference with me meeting you in person and you coming to my website? There should be no difference. My strategy should be the same. I offer what I offer to who I offer it to. But a lot of times when you don't have that strategy in place, you in person becomes the backdoor to your system. If they come online, you're good. You can capture their information. They fall into the flow. But the second you meet them in person and give them your business card, they are now operating outside of the system. And we talked about bypassing process. So some of you are the reason why you're bypassing process, because you weren't aware that your business card is creating a backdoor. Right? What about cold emailing? Do you know how many cold emails I get? Just people that don't know me. Hey, we like to partner with you. Hey, we want to write on your blog. Hey, this, hey, that, right? It works, but I can always tell who's strategic and who's not. I appreciate a good cold email. I'm not going to lie to you. Somebody who writes an email that catches my attention and gets me to write back, I'm paying attention to that. Right? But it's because it's strategic. Partnerships. Are you really strategic in your partnerships? right? Or are you just looking to partner with whoever will say yes? You get what I'm saying? We're talking about raising awareness of your business, advertising. And where you cannot, why you cannot risk to be monolithic in advertising is because you're not going to be able to communicate the value of your brand clearly by taking the activities and strategies of others, because it fits their brand, their mission, their vision. It's not yours. Okay. Next up, marketing. There are best practices and proven practices that should be learned and adhered to. Okay. However, how you market should be derived from them, not copied. I have I'm actually in the process of my first cohort of my automation service provider program. And what I've been telling everybody that is decided to enroll and be part of this is, I have a framework and you're going to use my framework to establish your own framework. I never tell them, here it is, use it just like I did, because I know your business is different. And what I need you to do is learn it so that you can derive from it what works from you, what works for you. But I'm not telling you to copy it. Maybe you can derive 98% of it. You're like, well, that's almost like copying, Chris. Okay, so be it. But what I'm saying is, you still have a responsibility in your business to be the ultimate decision maker of what should I do and what shouldn't I do, right? And when we talk about marketing, this goes from the number of lead magnets you offer to the type of emails you send, the channels you use, how you qualify your leads, right? None of it is cookie cutter. None of it is cookie cutter and can be applied as a template to produce consistent, scalable results. It's not, marketing is too dynamic. This is why so many people struggle with it. Because it's not just marketing, right? Well, it is just marketing, because within marketing, it's a requirement of strategy. There is no such thing as strategic marketing. Marketing itself is strategic. You get what I'm saying? Like, it embodies strategy. So strategic marketing is redundant, right? It's like calling me a mailman. It's like, okay, I am a male and a man. You could have just said man, right? So in marketing, it requires strategy. So those who don't operate strategically are always going to struggle with it. And this is what everybody's doing. And this is what they do, right? They look at the buffet of behavior and they start just blindly taking, ooh, Facebook groups, need one of those. Oh, masterclass, add one of those to my plate. Quiz. Ooh, quizzes. I'll take five of those. Online community. Yeah. Need that too. And let me put 8 lead magnets. And then you just walk away. All these behaviors on your plate. And then you just start doing them. Yeah, masterclass this, quiz that. Hey, join us online here. Oh, subscribe to my YouTube. This and that. Right? This is what everybody's doing. But what I'm telling you is, if you take a minute to think strategically, you only really need one or two of these. I'm talking about the success that you're looking for right now. Only you know that. You don't need to be doing all of this. Strategy helps you operate lean in marketing, prevents you from creating all those lead magnets when you only need one. It prevents you from continually updating your webinar or training or masterclass every week or every month, thinking it's, you know, making it better and better, instead of just learning the right angle to get people in to take action, right? Spending time on all of these quizzes, and you got a quiz for this, a calculator for that, and then another quiz here, just because you can. This is where digital marketers fall in. The monolithic digital marketer is the worst, because they know how to build all this stuff and they love doing it, right? But that does not make them strategic. Just because you learned how to build doesn't mean that you understand how to operate with strategy. Remember, strategy is organizing your actions to produce a specific result. So my marketing should be super targeted to produce that specific result. And the biggest thing that I see, I say that the role of marketing is to deliver qualified leads to sales. That's really it. Fundamentally, your marketing's job is to deliver qualified leads to sales. Okay. So if that's the case, you lacking strategy in your marketing is going to send disqualified leads to sales, which is going to exhaust whatever your sales process is. So what strategic marketing does is it, one, shortens the path to highly qualified, and it qualifies them along that path quickly. Otherwise, again, you're going to have all of this in place. Listen, there are so many people that have Facebook groups and don't know how many qualified leads are in that group. If they could, it's like, give me a number. What percentage of those do you think would say yes to what you have to offer? They have no idea, because it's just a big amalgamation of people who wanted some low intent offer. Didn't require much, but it was fun. You know, hey, I'll do that. Right. Your marketing, if you're thinking strategically, should be qualifying. It should be qualifying. If your marketing is not qualifying, which you're doing marketing, you have the marketing behaviors, right? Have you ever seen, I love basketball. And when I go to the park with my son or just go to the gym, there's for the history of playing ball, there's always that person that's on the sideline, and sometimes they have their headphones on, and they're, when you're running full court, they're shooting at the hoop that, you know, you're not running against at the moment, and they look so good in between games. They're shooting, man. It's like he's got a jumper. Oh man, look at him. He's got skills. Look at that crossover. Right, looks good. The second he gets in the game, oh my goodness, it might as well be 5-on-4. It's like, dude, where'd your skill go? That skill was just for show. That's when nobody else, you know, like, that's not in the game skills. That's when I have no pressure. I'm not trying to produce anything. Me shooting these baskets and making them, it's not generating points. But the minute you put a purpose on this, oh, I got to do this and generate points, It doesn't work. So how many digital marketers are like that you know? I could build a landing page, build a sales page. Hey, you need this. Hey, you need that. And it doesn't produce the results. It's monolithic. Okay, what about sales? This may be the most frustrating. There's a fundamental lack, just overall, of understanding how sales works. And I'm not saying that to judge you. I'm just saying I didn't know when I first got started. But I understand it now. So sales are important. And this is coming from a marketer first. I had to learn that you can't just blindly throw everybody onto a sales page and expect them to buy. Right. I had to learn the science, the psychology of sales to be successful. Strong sales strategy. It allows you to close with confidence in the best way for your business and team. And again, if you're strategic with your marketing, which, again, if you're not strategic in marketing, you're not marketing. You're just exhibiting marketing behavior, right? You're like a mime. It's like, he's doing something. It looks like there's a wall there. And then you just walk right through it. Oh, that was just air. He was really good at going through the motions. Really thought it was a wall there. Oh, okay. Right? So if you have those great leads coming in, and you have a strong sales strategy, now you're closing efficiently, right? Less stress, high numbers. You know, when you're strategic in your approach, you realize you don't have to abide by the standard conversions, right? Standard conversion online is 1-3%. You've got 5 or 10. Don't feel bad about it. You're just strategic. You know what you're doing. Most people, what they do is, a lack of strategy. They erroneously focus on pricing before understanding how to clearly communicate their value. Right. And a lot of them think that lowering their prices is the answer. oh, well, I think the problem is my audience won't pay that. You know how many times I hear that? My audience won't pay that. Or you go on the flip side, somebody listened to some guru that told them, hey, just raise your price. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to add a zero. And it's like, no, if you can't, whether you're going lower price or higher price, you have to be able to justify it. Right. If you can't justify it, you can't offer it. You can't put the understanding of why something is priced the way that it is on your audience. It has to be clear. But a lot of times this comes from not being strategic in learning how to clearly communicate your value. Right? So you rely on these tactics. Oh, let's take a zero off. Let's add a zero. Let's add two zeros. Yeah, we're worth it. Right? Without a clear understanding of the transformation you provide, selling is always going to be a struggle and a question mark. Again, this goes back to the goal. The goal with sales is transformation. Okay, which then, again, goes back to how you're qualifying folks, right, for that transformation. Do you see this strategic approach just as I'm going through each area? Because what most people are doing, and I can always tell when they don't have a strategy, is you have somebody with professional services using a shopping cart as if you could just, I want this service, and this service, and then go and hit checkout. You know, like they're literally using a shopping cart for professionals, like one-off professional services. Like people just buy them in bulk. And if they did buy them in bulk, I would question your fulfillment. Right? Or if they're not, you know, they're using single page checkouts, they've got the order bumps and upsells, or even worse, a lot of people offer these multiple pricing tiers, oftentimes way prematurely. It's like, yeah, we've got this package, we've got the three tier approach, and you haven't even sold one tier. You know, or again, you price low for safety. Hey, by default, if all else fails, everybody, let's not get strategic. Let's lower the price. That'll work. It's not a strategy. But again, this is what you may have found yourself doing, or you may witness other people do. So it goes back to how do you need to operate in your business based on the goals, the mission, the vision that you set forth? That overlying strategy is going to mandate how you operate in all of these areas of marketing and sales, right? Lastly is fulfillment. Once you've transacted, that ends the prospect lead cycle and begins the customer cycle. You're always in a cycle. And if you're not thinking strategically, you think the cycle is done. Well, where one ends, another just picks up, right? But not having a plan in place during that initial fulfillment process on how to, there's a few key things for onboarding, regardless if you're a service or product-based business. It should affirm the person of what they purchase and get it to them as fast as possible. That's just the law of fulfillment, right? But it should also be preparing them for their next purchase. Now, that's strategic. That requires strategy. And this is where a lot of people struggle, because they're so focused on getting that one sale that they don't have a strategy of continuing that sales cycle again and again and again. Right. And what it and so the result of that is that it puts pressure. It puts more weight on the advertising system. Right. To generate more and more leads instead of extending the value of all the new customers. And anybody in business for longevity will tell you the easiest way to increase your margins is to get more out of the customers that are already paying you, especially if you have a high cost to acquire that lead, right? Or I should say cost to acquire that customer. And some businesses do. Some businesses run to the point where they don't break even from the cost that it took to acquire the customer for a couple years. It's just how it is, right? And the only way they get there, excuse me, is because they have a way to get those customers to continually transact. A lot of this is in software. It's easy, right? It's just a monthly fee. Boom. Every month, every month, every month. So if you're using software, this is like the strategy to get them to come back is built in somewhat. But you still in the fulfillment, you still have to make sure that your onboarding gets them to get deep in the app quick so that it's sticky. Their information is in there and they don't leave. Right. So fulfillment is twofold. It's the immediacy factor. How do you get it there the fastest possible? And then during that initial onboarding, how do you get them to use what they got, right? Use what they purchased and get them ready for the next purchase. Okay. This is like a relay handoff. It's not sequential. Like, okay, we're done with this now. Here's what's next, right? You should be priming the pump. That's if you want it to be seamless. I'm just saying the more strategy you lay on this stuff, the easier it is. Okay. So what is everybody doing on fulfillment? Memberships, right? Courses, forum software, course software. The top things that I'm hearing, Kartra, Kajabi. Should I be using Kartra? Kajabi. There was another membership platform. I can't remember, but it's just like, hey, look, I got this idea of membership. That's what everybody else is doing. Does membership fit your model? I don't know. Can I be honest? I've tried to prematurely force membership because I knew how to build a membership site. So I just figured, hey, build a membership site, sell it, built-in recurring. There it goes. But I didn't have the strategy. And the reason why I didn't have the strategy, because I didn't know the value, because I didn't know my audience. So then I had to be strategic to get to know my audience more, creating lead magnet offers that resonate with a certain type of people. Once those people come in, qualifying them a certain way in my marketing based on how I qualified them and what I wanted them to do, determine how I sold, gets to fulfillment. Now, based on what I sold, determines on how I fulfill that. And what did I learn? Oh, membership isn't. it was cool, but it's not for me. Right. Community. Should I be on Facebook or off? I don't know. What's your strategy? Who's your audience? When it's time to fulfill. When it's time for them to receive. Do you want them going on Facebook? I don't know. Is the information that Facebook doesn't give you in terms of usage and engagement, is that going to hurt you? I don't know. What's your strategy? And what does your strategy need? One of the things I haven't mentioned yet is what information does your strategy need? Right? Because we're always collecting information. What about inconsistent onboarding? I see so many people doing this across the board, just inconsistent with their onboarding. One client gets the white glove treatment. Another client gets the dirty white glove treatment, the gray glove treatment. Another client gets the no glove treatment. And it gets exhausting because you can't control. There's no quality control over the onboarding. So the experience is random. And what you'll end up doing is when there's a bad experience, you'll go out your way. Oh, let me make this right. Because you know, you don't want them putting a review online or going in some group talking about, oh, they were terrible. Right? What's your strategy for fulfillment, immediacy, and onboarding? Right. What does that process look like? Some of you are just blindly throwing people into some of these communities and memberships and groups, and you're not aware of what you're losing when you do that. Right. Physical product fulfillment. Do you know some people do drop shipping? Some people package the products themselves and ship them off. And then there's all kind of technology that ties into, you know, if you're using Shopify or Amazon to track those packages. And guess what? Some of you don't care to track as deeply as others. Right. That's just not something you do. You're like, hey, look, the drop shipper, if we got an issue, I've got a support desk somewhere else. I'm just looking at the money coming in. Nothing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that approach. But what I'm saying is if someone were to blindly follow that, and they desired a higher level of customer service, more personalized touch throughout, that's not going to work, although it may work for that other business. Right? You have to make sure you're using the best tools and methods that fits your business. And when I say fit your business, they help you operate how you desire to operate in your business. You may not be to that point where you can operate how you desire, so you're operating how you have to. When I say operate how you desire, that means you've cut down your hats to no more than three, right? Instead of 10 or 15 hats, you're down to, you know, three, and it's one that you're wearing just most consistently. The other two you just throw on when you absolutely need to. Okay? Because all this, I'm saying all of this to say, it starts and ends with strategy. Organize movement to produce a specific result. Your movement can be judged based on the result that it produces. Okay, so to create and keep your competitive advantage, you've got to know how to achieve success with the tools and strategy that best fits you. Okay, again, this is your official permission slip to be different. You can't afford to just follow what everyone else is doing and hoping to produce what you need. It's not going to work. Hope is not a strategy. Okay, hope is a great thing to have in life. All right. Apply it to the other areas of your life where you need to be strategic. That's not it. Like, oh, OK, I sure hope they like this ad. I sure hope they buy my product. I sure hope these emails get read. It's not a strategy. But for a lot of you, it's your only strategy. And we have to stop doing that. OK, you need a strategy specific to your business with a system built that with that specific strategy in mind. No more cookie cutter marketers. No more monolithic. Hey, listen, this is what Russell's doing. Nothing wrong with Russell. But do you understand how to do that and produce results for that exact business that you're consulting with? Right? It bothers me, if you can't tell. It bothers me to my core when it's just the blind leading the blind. I should say the blind following the blinder. Right? We've got to be strategic. It's strategy that helps us break free from it all. And let me say this in closing. The last thing is, when you start moving strategically, let me just give you a warning. You're going to have to stop looking at everybody else. Because what you'll find is there's certain things that work well, and you'll look around and nobody's doing it. You're like, man, I'm really killing it with organic leads. But you look around and everybody's on Facebook. Everybody's this, everybody. Man, I've got a strong referral system. Everybody's like, hey, but you need to do this. What about that? And you could easily get off track of something that is working well for your business and will continue to work well for your business by looking at somebody else who has a different strategy that you don't know is working. Okay, so when you do have a strategy, it's working, the more strategic you get in your business, the less you can afford to look at other businesses. Okay, just wanted to give you that fair warning, because some of you are reaching that point and you keep looking at everybody else, right at your break free point, when you're like, okay, now we're doing it this way. You get there and then you look at somebody else, you're like, hey, let's try that. It's like, oh my God. Okay, last thing. I was working with a startup that shall remain nameless, and they appointed a VP of marketing who knew absolutely nothing, nothing at all, nothing. It was ridiculous. And his strategy was just look at what every other startup is doing and let's just do that. I'm not lying to you. This was a startup. And some of you rely on this startup to show you how to market. Right? That was his strategy. That's not a strategy. That's just ignorance. Like, that's not even hope. That's just ignorance. You were placed in a position that you had no business being in, and you were doing the best that you could, which was be ignorant. That's the best that you could do, is be ignorant. So you need a strategy, everybody. Okay. That's how you be different in your business. So let me ask you, who needed to hear this? Who is that person? Who is that monolithic marketer that's just, they've got the digital hammer and they're looking for the digital nails just hitting. Hey, oh, there's a screw. Don't need a ratchet for that. Watch this. Use a hammer. Right? It's just one size fits all. No change. right? Nothing specific to the needs of their businesses. As more businesses go online today more than ever, specific solutions are required. And your ability to provide a specific solution in a streamlined manner. You don't have to change it every time for every business. You can have a streamlined manner of extracting the specific needs of that business and quickly building a system around it. So who needs to know how to do that? Who needs to know that that's the approach that they need to take? Share this episode with them. Sit down with them if you want to. Listen to it. Pause and say, see, this is what I've been trying to say. Right? Use me as the messenger. Then you can say, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just saying, this guy is saying it. This is our issue. Okay? And if you found value in today's episode, please share it with them and leave a 5-star rating and review. Make sure you are subscribed. For my first time listeners, this is the time where you keep this podcast playing in the background, hit the subscribe button, and then go leave your 5-star rating and review. It is greatly appreciated because here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated to training digital marketing professionals to become automation service providers, small businesses. The reason why, let me just say this. The reason why is because small businesses are struggling with being strategic, not just around, you know, advertising, marketing, sales, fulfillment, but around technology, around modeling their business. They're just struggling. So as an automation service provider, you learn how to specialize in all of those areas for them to help them deploy automated systems for rapid growth in their business. Okay, they need help, everybody. So if that's you, we're always taking in folks for all for our cohorts, and if you want to be part of the current or next cohort for the automation service provider program that we have, I want you to go to automationbridge.com/ASP to take the next steps to talk to somebody, either myself or someone on my team, to assess if you'd be a good fit for the program and community. Okay. The time is now, everybody. We have to get on it. When I say we, I'm talking to the marketing community. We have to get on it. These small businesses, they need us. They really do. Okay. So all the show notes and podcasts are accessible at automationbridge.com/podcast. You can subscribe there and listen to all of the episodes. All of the other episodes at your leisure. So until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.